My dear devotees, I will not read the translation and the purport to you. Before I give you some very valuable advice how you can listen to the translation and the purport with maximum benefit. See, so often when we hear verses or sacred scripture, we hear, but we don't really absorb. It's almost like seeing, but not recognizing, because our mind is either dull or absent-minded. So, on the Govardhan retreat, Bhujan Prabhu gave a very nice way of listening, which all of us who followed his advice, we derived a lot of benefit from it. That is, that as you are listening, your mind should ponder about what you hear. Now, the easiest way to do this for those who do not practice an internal life of Krishna consciousness, which is many of us, the easiest way to do this is that while you hear, you order your mind to just repeat mentally what you heard. Like, for instance, the first line will be, the great sage Kadama said. So as I'm reading this to you, in your mind you should just repeat it. The great sage Kadama said. Of course, you don't whisper it. I just did it for illustration. You just do it in your mind, and you will see it will stick in the mind, and then you benefit from that. But when someone asks you today, what did Prabhupada say in the purport, you will be able to give an answer as exposed to so many mindless listening to translations in purport. Try it out, make an experiment. So now comes the translation. The great sage Kadama said, O supreme worshipful Lord, my power of sight is now fulfilled. Having attained the greatest perfection of the sight of you, who are the reservoir of all existences, through many successive births of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here as the reservoir of all goodness and all pleasure. Unless one is situated in the mode of goodness, there is no real pleasure. When therefore one's body, mind and activities are situated in the service of the Lord, one is on the highest perfectionist stage of goodness. Kadama Muni says, your Lordship is the reservoir of all that can be understood by the nomenclature of goodness. And by experiencing you face to face, eye to eye, the perfection of sight has now been attained. By experiencing you face to face, eye to eye, the perfection of sight has now been attained. These statements are the pure devotional situation. For a devotee, the perfection of the senses is to engage in the service of the Lord. The sense of sight, when engaged in seeing the beauty of the Lord, is perfected. The power to hear, when engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, is perfected. The power to taste, when one enjoys by eating prasad, is perfected. When all the senses engage in relationship with the personality of Godhead, one's perfection is technically called bhakti yoga, which entails detaching the senses from material indulgence and attaching them to the service of the Lord. When one is free from all designated conditional life and fully engages in the service of the Lord, one's service is called bhakti yoga. This is an important sentence and we will hear it again. When one is free from all designated conditional life, this means the upadis, and fully engages in the service of the Lord, one's service is called bhakti yoga. Kadama Muni admits that seeing the Lord personally in bhakti yoga is the perfection of sight. The exalted perfection of seeing the Lord is not exaggerated by Kadama Muni. He gives evidence that those who are actually elevated in yoga aspire in life after life to see this form of the personality of Godhead. He was not a fictitious yogi. Those who are actually on the advanced path aspire only to see the eternal form of the Lord. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namami. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurani Pachane. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Jivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Parivasha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaiveshnavevyo Namo Namah.
Hare Krishna.
Great sage Kadama said, Rishi Uvacha, Yoshtambhata Yakilasa Dvada Se Samsityam Akshnusta Vada Shananna Yada Shanam Yamabhya Idhya Sadbhya Asha Sati Yogi Norudha Yoga. O Supreme Worshipful Lord, my power of sight is now fulfilled. Having attained the greatest perfection of the sight of you, who are the reservoir of all existences, through many successive births of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form. comments, amongst many other nice points, wonderful points. These statements are the pure devotional situation. For a devotee, the perfection of the senses is to engage in the service of the Lord. A little later, those who are actually on the advanced path aspire only to see the eternal form of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami gives us a padati of prayer. Pad means feet, and padati means to move forward. It's a padati is, in other words, a guideline or instruction to move forward on the path of advancement. And Prarthana Padati is a prayer which helps you to go forward. He has one Prarthana Padati to Srimati Radharani, and those who are regular readers of this magazine Back to Godhead have seen that in there, where he glorifies Srimati Radharani in four verses. As the one who charms Lord Madhava, Lord Krishna, by her glances, for instance, her glances full of love. And then, on the fifth shloka, he describes his situation as being very fallen and wretched. He says, a poor person rolls on the bank of the Yamuna in desperation, crying out, my mistress, I'm very crooked in my intelligence. I'm very wicked. I think I'm advanced, but I'm very fallen. My character is not good. My heart is not good. But still, I beg to attain your service. Then you might wonder, I mean, if he feels so fallen, and now he wants the highest thing, devotional service to Srimati Radharani, this doesn't make sense. I mean, anyone who is very crooked, he has no right to ask for something high. But he, in the last verse, it's the seventh verse, gives his reason why he feels it is all right to ask. He says, you have a heart which is like butter, which melts with one particular quality of yours, which is compassion. Compassion means to see the misery of someone else and then feel something for that person. Feel, oh, that should be help to this person in a very, very, very bad, bad situation. Rupa Goswami has written other verses, Kapanya Panchika Sotra, which translates into English as a list of requests, and the Utkalika Valari, which follow the outline which you have just now heard. Praise of the divine couple, a confession of one's own incompetence in spiritual life, and a request for direct service. Now, here in this verse, we hear how the great sage Kadama Muni talks about seeing the Lord in devotional darshan, tava darshan, your darshan, your direct perception, face to face, says Prabhupada, eye to eye. That is what he aspires for.
In Krishna consciousness, we are not enchantaras, where we just want to see Lord Krishna, but our desire is to see and serve him through offering our services in our original constitutional position to the Lord. Jiva Goswami states, in the heart of a devotee you find three desires. Desire for good prasadam, the desire for fame, and desire for some position in the hierarchy. Doesn't sound right. I'm challenging your listening at the moment. It was wrong, it was wrong, it was wrong. But you must listen more. Some of you are sleeping. Hare Krishna. So now comes the truth. Forget this. This was an aparat. In the heart of a devotee, you find three desires. To attain the Lord. To have a relationship with him, and to render service which is pleasing to the Lord. This is what a devotee wishes. He wishes samband, a relationship to the Lord, a bond to the Lord. He wishes to put fire on the house of his false ego, where he has resided so long. And he wishes that this fire of desire will actually, for the Lord, will burn this wrong false ego, and will produce a beautiful ashes, which are the feelings. I am your servant. This is the concept of aham. I am your servant, and mamiti, oh Lord, you are mine. You are mine. We have a relationship. This is necessary for a devotee. This is highly necessary for a devotee. It's hard. No? So, the entrance door for bhakti is not so much high qualifications of renunciation or doing many activities in the karma path for your own fruitive motivation. The entrance in bhakti is this good faith, shraddha, which you have that, my Lord, if I serve my Lord, if I please my Lord, this is all what I wish. And I want to talk today about two things. I want to talk about the entrance into bhakti, and then I want to talk about high things in Krishna consciousness, with your permission. Once devotees came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, Guru Maharaj, we do not make any advancement. Our heart is very bad. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at them and said, are you ready to hear this? It might relate also to your case, so it is intense. He said, you have worms. I mean, I will not ask the indecent question if any one of you ever had worms, because it's really not to be discussed in a Sattvic temple room. But let me just clinically and medically explain to you what happens if you have worms. Whatever you eat when you have worms will be swallowed by the worms inside the intestines, and it will be for the benefit of the worms, not for the nourishment of your body. You know this. You can eat the best macrobiotic or Ayurvedic preparations. If you have worms, they will eat it, and they will become bigger and more healthy, and they will think about family life within your intestines and make their colony and so on. It's for their benefit, not your benefit, what you eat.
Hare Krishna. More we will not say about this unpleasant subject.
So, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said to his devotees who felt, to his disciples who were not, to these disciples or brahmacharis who did not make advancement, he wanted to say there's something in you which swallows all the benefit of your practice. In the philosophy, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know what that is. Desires for bhukti, for sense enjoyment, and for mukti, for just the pleasure of liberation, which are both selfish concepts, really. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked of these things as being weeds. Material desires are weeds which swallow all the water which you pour on the bhakti ladder beach, on your Krishna consciousness to nourish this. If you continue to have these material things where you are self-centered, like kutinati, diplomatic behavior, desiring your own fame, your own profit, labha, pratishta, puja, you want to be worshipped, you want to also be a puja part, and what else? All these weeds, you know, if you allow them to be in your life, you can practice Krishna consciousness and practice, but if you don't weed them out or take them out, all the first class practices which you do will just go to the benefit of these worms or weeds or witches, whatever analogy you prefer, that which states that you give something, but it is not really digested by you. It doesn't serve your own spiritual nourishment. This is a problem. I believe this is a problem of all of us. We need to come to that door where bhakti starts. That is to leave that self-centered activity and just think, how can I please Krishna by doing this? My dear devotees, I really want to encourage you today, when you live this day in Vrindavan Dham, think not how you can experience bliss today. Hare Krishna. Oh, Prabhuji, can we offer a good sitting arrangement for you? This is, some little chair is better?
Too late, pardon me. I'm too late, pardon me.
No. Anyone knows where this little chair for Daru is? Yes, please. No. Bring some sitting arrangement for our elderly Vaishnava. So this is very, very necessary to understand. My dear devotees, I'm speaking this not as someone who is in a superior position. I had a difficult year, but no need to go into the details. My health was so bad I almost left the body. Hare Krishna. Also not a bad idea. And then I had to do also a little investment of my spiritual life, and I found out my heart is so full of worms.
So much I do without thinking that this should please Krishna. He should be happy with this activity. This should please my Guru Maharaj. He should have that smile in his face with which every disciple treasures as his great treasure. Huh? I found out this, the thinking was not so much with me. And then I could understand why I have not made so much, why I have not made advancement in my spiritual life. Because of just feeling all these nice things to the wrong side in me. Hare Krishna. It was highly disturbing. I was really feeling, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. It's very disturbing. Very disturbing. So, therefore it is highly important for a devotee to think about Krishna and to please him. I would like in illustrating this verse, actually I first want to make an illustration. I heard it many years ago from one of the Puranas. There was a discussion between Lakshmi and Narayan. Lakshmi said to Narayan, Narayan said to Lakshmi, Lakshmi, what do you think are people more interested in? Are they more interested in me, Narayan, or more interested in money and Lakshmi? Lakshmi said, my lord, I'm thinking they are more interested in me than in you. And Narayan said, let us see. So he came to, the way I heard it was a dharmshala, and he had the form of a sadhu, and he was making with karatas some kirtan and saying, Hey Gopala Govinda and different songs about different songs about the Lord. And the owner of the dharmashala was very pleased for two reasons. He said, oh sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Maharaj, come in on my dharmashala and sing there. I like your singing, and also your singing will attract pilgrims. They will think this is a good dharmashala. Some sadhu lives in here. Come here. So the sadhu said, yes, I come. But I will only be in your dharmashala if you give me that corner room. Any room, any room. Whoever comes and wants that corner room, you must say, no, the sadhu lives in there. I cannot give this room. This is my condition. The dharmashala owner said, that's an easy condition. You take that corner room and you sing all day. Sadhu Maharaj was singing all day. Dina Dayal. Everything he was singing. The sun is required in the winter. Prabhuji, sun is required. Yes. There's need. Thank you. Thank you. That's important. So, in summer, no sun. In winter, full sun. Yes. After he sang for a few days in that corner room, and then one day there was a commotion before the dharmashala. A princess had arrived in a chariot, and there were pikemen with her, and the princess said to the dharmashala owner, my dear dharmashala owner, I want to take residence in your dharmashala. I've heard good things about it. Very good. Please come, please come. We have this luxury apartment thing here in that very peaceful situation of the dharmashala. You reside there. No, said the princess. I have heard about that corner room. I only can come if I can stay in that corner room.
Yes, that Dharamsala owner. This corner room is occupied by a good sadhu who sings. You will be happy in this Dharamsala. You will hear his singing, but in another room. This is a very unluxury room, unsuitable for you. You please go there. Dharamsala owner, I give you 1,000,000 gold coins for that corner room. How much? 1,000,000 gold coins. Ignorant. So he went to the corner room and said, Sadhu Maharaj, we have some very good rooms available. By some good stroke of life, we can now offer you the very peaceful, secluded rooms ideal for your bhajan in that luxury apartment. You can be there. Oh, no, said Sadhu. I stay in this corner room. This is most suitable for my bhajan. Any other room you stay, this is a very a princess wants to stay. No, I stay. You have given your word. Oh, Sarma, you are very greedy and attached. I think you are not a real sadhu. If you are, say, real sadhus are free from attachments to room. You go, or I will have my men carry you out. When Lord Narayan, who had taken the form of the sadhu, heard this, he vanished. And when the Dharamsala owner ran out to the princess to tell that by mystic yoga this sadhu had managed, she was also not there. Meanwhile, Lakshmi was smiling at Lord Narayan. See, I told you, people are after me, not after you. I have won. You have not won, said Narayan. We will do a second experiment. I will go to a devotee. So he went to, he again took the guise of a sadhu. He went to a devotee, sang some first class bhajan. And the devotee came out. Oh, I have this house. And some room is vacant. Was not really vacant. He made it vacant. You stay with me, please, and you sing for the Lord. Yes, said the sadhu, but only if you don't give this room to anyone else, even if a princess should come and want this room. Then no problem. Anyways, I don't like to stay with a Mataji. I'm not my regulation. So then the sadhu went into the room and stayed. A little later, Lakshmiji came. She was dressed in the garb of a sadhu this time, with saffron things, very nice hair arrangement. She said, I'm a Vaishnavi, I need protection. A very unsafe situation here. Do you have can you give me for a night a quarter of the room? What do you wish? Well, I wish to have that room. The sadhvi pointed at the room where Narayan was staying. She was Lakshmi, of course, I think you know. The devotee said, no, not possible. But there are rich grihasthas in this village. We can arrange that you stay. No, I want to stay in this room. And you must know, I was previously a princess. I renounced everything. But now a lot of Lakshmi is waiting, which I do not need. I want to give it as a donation for you so that you can build a wonderful golden temple for your Lord. It is
worth about 20 million gold coins. My treasure. The devotee said, no, I've given my word to this devotee, and you go in this other situation, and there you can also spend the Lakshmi for a good temple. Please go. I give you 40 million gold coins. No, Mataji, no need. I will go with you. Take care of your accommodation elsewhere. It was a strong elsewhere. An elsewhere from which Lakshmi no, he won't go from that elsewhere. She vanished or disappeared, and so did the sadhu. Narayan said, see? If I'm in the heart of someone, he is free from these wants. He didn't say it like this. This material desires. Yes, you are very powerful in people's life where I'm not in the heart. So, my dear devotees, this is a little illustration for this. It is necessary that the Krishna conscious movement becomes Krishna conscious. That is, thinking of Krishna always and not forgetting. Then your individual lives will look very nice, very, very good. These worms of material alive, which give so much problems, won't be there. I would now like to read to you a song from the Kalyana Kalpataru, the desire tree of auspiciousness, about receiving Krishna, seeing Krishna. A person who once sees Lord Krishna becomes fortunate. Janama safalatara Krishna dara shana jara Bhakya hoya chekpa. Janama safalatara Krishna dara shana jara Bhakya hoya chekpa. His birth in this world has borne its true fruit. Now the fruit has come on the tree of your life. You have seen Krishna. Gazing at Lord Krishna with the eyes of his heart. Huh? In the heart this happens. Hrinayana, the eyes of the heart, see Lord Krishna. That soul becomes free of the disease of material desire in his heart. So Krishna must be seen in the eye, with the eyes of the heart. Hrinayana, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Lord Krishna, then he describes what Krishna. Krishna has many aspects. But here he says, Vrindavana keli chaturavana mali. Lord Krishna is expert at enjoying his pastimes in Vrindavan. He plays the flute and he wears a forest flower garland. He likes so much forest decorations. He also has a kanikara flower over his ear. When he sees Radharani in the morning and the flower is on the left ear, it means, this is called non-verbal communication in the divine realm, see me at Vrindakur. It's on the right side. It means see me at Sankit. Lord Krishna talks through the flowers he wears. This wonderful form is threefold bending. He is full of transcendental qualities. What do you think is the most important of Krishna's transcendental qualities?
I've read this, so it's not an art for me to say it. Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri knows Bhakta Vatsala. He, at least, this is the most important quality for us in this world. Just like the moon shines cool and the sun shines hot, Lord Krishna's heart shines with that quality of Bhakta Vatsalya. He has an almost parent type of affection for his devotees, like a caring type of affection for his devotees. And Krishna is an ocean of nectar. He is the color of a new rain cloud. I have heard that that this analogy becomes clear when you stay in Vrindavan and watch the beginning of the rainy season, the monsoon cloud. Then you know what is the color of a new rain cloud. On his head is a graceful peacock feather. His tilak and his curly locks are graceful and splendid. Splendid means it's full of luster. His tilak has a luster, and although his curly locks are blackish, they have a shine, a luster. He wears a yellow garment, and a sweet smile stays on his lips. That's wonderful. His handsomeness means beauty, makes the world wild with joy. This is Krishna's quality. When someone beholds even a little of his beauty, he becomes wild. He dances usually. He shouts, "Hari Hari Bol!" This is a very, very wonderful effect of the beauty which makes you wild with joy. Dostoevsky, because we have some Russian devotees amongst us, your poet Dostoevsky said, "Beauty will save the world." But he didn't know about Krishna. Beauty will make the... How will Krishna save the world? His beauty will make us wild with joy and we forget everything. Haribol. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us a meditation on Krishna. A meditation which is very standard in Vaishnava circles. It's an envisioning of Krishna through the eyes of the heart. As I gaze at Krishna under that kadamba tree, Krishna, whose dark complexion defeats the sapphires, Krishna, who is a jewel mine of beauty, when I look at Krishna under this kadamba tree, my heart yearns to stay with him. My feet do not move from that place. I have forgotten everything about the material world. Yes, this is, my dear devotees, what we want. Let us forget this world. Hare Krishna. Very important. Let Krishna come in our heart. Oh, my friend. Last verse. As I gaze at the nectar sweetness of Krishna's form, tears of love flow from my eyes, and I fall unconscious. Do you like this particular song? It's a very good song. You can find it in Kalyana Kalpataru. It's opening lines, and this is how it is. It's Janama Safala Tara. Yeah, always you find nowadays index in the song books, the different songs, and always the first line is there so that you can find it. It's a very good line. Bring Krishna in your heart, but not alone. A heart has four chambers to pump normally. So a devotee should have four chambers in his heart. There should be Guru,
in one chamber. Do you know, do we say chamber, heart chamber? We can say. You know, the heart is like this, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4. If one is damaged, you need a heart operation, and if two are damaged, you need a very intense heart operation. If three are damaged, you need a super intense heart operation, and when four are damaged, you are lost. So in the first heart chamber, there should be Guru, who is Mukunda Preshta, a dear devotee of the Lord. Second heart chamber should be Gonitai, most merciful Gonitai. Third heart chamber, Radha Krishna, Radha Sham Sunda. And fourth heart chamber, most important for beginners, the name. Because if you learn to chant the name, then the name will restore gradually all the three heart chambers to full operation. This is what the holy name does. He is fully Krishna, but he is ready to enter into the system of the conditioned soul. With system, I mean the mental and physical situation. He enters the heart if you learn to chant properly, and there he will cleanse the heart from all pollutions and contaminations. And when he has cleansed the heart, then you will see in that heart the rupa of the Lord, the form, the qualities. All this will be revealed on the cleansed heart, which Mahaprabhu said is like a mirror. Now in the mirror of our heart, only the word reflects and worldly desires. But if it is clean, cleansed, then by the power of yoga maya, I wish it would be so easy as to rub the hands. But then by the power of yoga maya, the divine reality becomes reflected in the mirror of the heart, which is cleansed. First you will see it in a flesh-like situation, just a glimpse. This is how it is said here also. I can't.
Krishna, Krishna.
Yes, a glimpse. Krishna will reveal his beauty. Just momentarily you will see some form. And I believe some of the devotees have seen. Some of the devotees have seen. Maybe just very short, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I wanted to share this with you, gives a very interesting point in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He says there that even a person who has not yet developed his relationship for Krishna, which starts with Sai Baba, your fixed relationship, can sometimes, while worshipping, chanting or meditation, momentarily get an experience of the Lord, and then he will think, what was that? They are so wonderful that if I compare the universe of my experience with it, there's nothing which can match with it. Now he gives us an analogy to understand how a person, even on a these exalted states of devotional service, can experience something. He said it's just like a match which comes close to a fire. When you worship and you do your sadhana, you can sometimes, by the mercy of Krishna, come close to him, and you feel that. Oh, that kirtan. Oh, Hare Krishna. No, I don't want to stop 16 rounds. No, I want to stop. Don't want to stop. I want to continue. Why eat? Why sleep now? Hare Krishna. This is better. You feel like that. And then you feel it has momentarily ignited some type of beginner's experience of Krishna's fascination. Krishna's charm is enchantment. And I believe as a preacher, many devotees who come to Krishna consciousness, even undeserved at the beginning of their practice, have some very good feeling of Krishna consciousness in their heart. Something which Krishna seems to give at the beginning to show, here, this is there for you, but much more, much more. And yes, so Krishna, this was about a glimpse. First there will be a glimpse, and then the Lord, by the Lord's kripa, his form will manifest in the heart. Vrindavan Dham will be there, again the gopas, again the gopis will be there, everything is there by the revelation of that potency of the Lord which he gives. It first starts, this is very important, first starts with this conscious endeavor to please Krishna, to have this type of faith. That not I should be satisfied, not I should be glorified. Let Krishna be satisfied with my endeavor. Here, I have brought this for you, Krishna. Please accept. When you chant, don't chant your names trying to be the enjoyer. Krishna is already Rasaraj. Don't try to push him off the throne of the enjoyer and sit yourself there. No, you should bring pleasure to Krishna. Chant offenseless rounds for his pleasure. Then as you go through your day, think, oh, I want to preach, but not to get admiration by others, or I want to help this person. This person needs Krishna consciousness. Needs Krishna. This will please Krishna. When you cook, think about, will this, I mean, if I add this little fenugreek to it, then this may be enhanced. Or why not put a little anise also? Oh my God, I'm speculating. Maybe I should look at the cookbook and see what to put, you know. Think like this for Krishna. To purposefully make an endeavor for Krishna. And then Krishna, then the bombs will go. You will see the leaf. Ooh. Yes, go, go, go. Hare Krishna, I had made notes, but in Vrindavan Dham, it's not our plan which we should follow. I'm sorry if I got a little carried away. Just a little enthusiastic. Do you have any questions now? One question, yes, a second, but they should be well considered questions. Yes. Prabhu, your good name again?
Jagat Atma,
Prabhu, yes.
I'm asking this question for somebody else. They ask, some of the devotees written a book. And they have written some fiction.
They have what?
Written some fiction.
Some fiction.
In a book. Glorifying Krishna. That they have used fiction. A novel story. Also, in that book, in the introduction, they say, they do this because Bhakti is not practical.
It's written Jaiva Dharma.
And they claim that that is also a Bhikshu. So, my question for that person is, are these statements true? Does Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually write Bhikshu? Or is it through his own samadhi? And because in this statement, this sloka has brought this thing up, and previous slokas as well, about Bhikshu. That's why I'm asking this
question. This is a question which implies the answer already. There are different forms of perception, according to your to the eligibility of the devotee, he has a perception. So this perception which the great devotees have, for instance, of Krishna's pastimes, is called Vaidusha Praman. They can see it. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami uses this literary device, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is something which they behold. Now, if a devotee who may not be on that level writes something about Krishna, it won't have that quality of direct experience of Krishna. It will be more some creative writing, let us say it like this. And I have not seen the book, and nor is it necessary, I believe, to talk about the title of the book. If it is not on that level of, if the writers are not on that level of Baba, where the Lord reveals themselves in the heart, then they won't be able to have Vaidusha Praman, this part at this time. And it would, I don't know the book, but it would be honest for the writer to clarify in the preface. I have tried to use my my creativity in the service of Krishna. That would be good, but I'm not a great devotee. This would be honest for the writer to do. So because I don't know the, I think writing is writing, and there's an author. But we are instructed. I mean, we know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's standard. He would be writing for Krishna. If you really write to Krishna for Krishna and not for yourself, then you have to please Krishna. And you have to avoid things like rasa basa and these things. You know. And a not so accomplished writer writes on his own about Krishna, his pastimes, there will be usually some. I have seen this in painting. I had a painting, but and some devotee had given his best, I know, and I appreciate it, but it was a bit, it was Krishna and Radharani walking through the forest of Vrindavan, and then Radharani just took her sari up and looked towards the audience, you know, the person on the picture. I mean, she looked as if she wanted to show a gesture of feminine attractiveness. And Radharani would never do such a thing. So, I thought maybe I'm too critical, maybe because in ISKCON we often like to criticize others. So I'm an ISKCON person, and I gave it just to some devotee, and he was like, not Radha, not Radha. Girl from Delhi, girl from Delhi. So when you don't know these things, you should not. Better you ask how to paint and how to write and get the right description. It just happened while I was in Vashana. We had our Vashana retreat, and one devotee gave it to me. I know it is innocent. I know we should tell the devotee. In a, come, sit down, see this description about Radharani. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rather than paint like this, it's better. Like this, we should say.
Prabhupada pulled
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said it's not actually.
He looked. Yeah. Yeah. I know that was one particular thing. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Please wait for your microphone that we all hear your question.
Yeah, I just have a question like that. To continue with the devotional service, and as you mentioned, to always think about Krishna and never forget Krishna, we must continue in spite of all the impediments, the material energy that goes to us in different circumstances. That's my question, how we can do it.
This devotee asked about impediments in devotional service. I want to tell you something. Impediments are good. Obstacles are necessary. Because just like gold needs to be melted in the fire so that it loses the impurity, we need obstacles to develop our determination and also to show our determination. It's good. It's good.
Important.
They are there by Krishna. Krishna's mercy. Hare Krishna. Krishna's mercy. They are there. So Krishna wants to see, what is my devotee now doing? Is he running back? Or is he continuing? There's a very nice analogy about this. One guru was sitting with his disciples in a starlit night and was talking to them. And one disciple spaced out, like always, and looked up on the tree under which they sat. And there was a stone on top of that palm tree, a big stone like this. She said, Guru Maharaj, I have a question.
What?
How did the stone get up the palm tree? Now the Guru started to cry when he heard this question. I put it there when I was a rescue. Once all this area was covered with palm trees, now only this palm tree is left. When I was a young boy, I saw this palm tree which was growing so happily, so nicely, and I thought, my life is so miserable, I will put a stone on the crown of that tree and torture the tree to death. Pain. You did this with his friend. The tree for the first year went down. The second year he went more down. The third year he went more down. Finally he was almost on the ground. And then came the storm. The storm uprooted all the neighboring palm trees except for that one palm tree. Do you know why? That palm tree had been forced to grow deep roots. Then came the sixth year. Palm tree was coming up. Seventh year, the palm tree was straightening up. The eighth year. The tenth year. And now we can sit under the palm tree. All other trees have gone. Don't be so shocked about obstacles. They are good if and only if you grow your roots in a deeper way. And when the roots are deep, you will be able to get the nourishment which is there, the spiritual nourishment which is there in the deep depths, not in the superficiality of ordinary life. It is in the depths of your relationship with Krishna. So, Hare Krishna,
we have grown into a late hour, 9:30. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful remaining stay in Vrindavan Dham. Take good advantage and don't forget, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, Dham means Nam. When you stay in the Dham, chant rounds, extra rounds, not less rounds, more rounds. And when you chant, then you will enter Krishna Kam. Krishna Kam means Krishna's desire for you. So Dham means Nam, means Krishna Kam. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.